Isaac the instructions, every other thing after he told him to dwell there, God said he was going to do it. Every other thing that God said after he gave him the instructions to stay there, God starts saying all that he was going to do. Look at somebody and say, this triple favor season is going to be God's season. Yeah. It's the season that God is going to do all that he has promised you he would do. You won't have to depend on the arm of the flesh. You won't have to depend on no other person, no other system. He told Isaac, I'm going to do all the things that your life needs to be done in it. Okay? So we have to keep that in mind. God is going to do it. Even in our confession scripture in Luke 6:38. Go there if you would. Luke 6:38. Because we have to understand, as I talked about Sunday, you know, actions of faith, you know, they always invoke a response from God. Actions of faith always invoke a response from God. Always. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when you step forward and you begin to start doing actions of faith, God begin to respond to you because you invoke him. Yeah, you invoke God to respond when you begin to take actions of faith. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So he told him, just dwell there, then I'm going to do all the things that need to be done. That's what you have to understand about favor. You know, favor puts God in the position of your life where he can do everything he need to do for you. And it's no longer you trying to do it on your own. How many tired of trying to do this on your own? Amen. It's a better way. Now, I won't say easier, but it's a better way. Yeah, it's a better way. But it takes and it requires a mental adjustment. We have to make a mental adjustment, a mental shift, so that God can do everything that he in his word has promised us he would do for us. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 6, we read this scripture all the time. Luke chapter number 6. Verse number 38, and then I'm going to go to it in the Message Bible too, because I want to show you something in that. All right, Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38. Look what he says now. He said, give. Now, underline that. He said, give. Now, that's our responsibility. Look at somebody and say,
That's our responsibility.
Hallelujah. He said, give. That's us. That's what we supposed to do. That's what we supposed to do. Give. That's an action of faith. Somebody say, that's an action of faith.
That's an action of faith.
Yeah. So when you take an action of faith, it invokes a response from God. God cannot help himself. God have to respond to you when you take an action of faith. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter what your conditions are. It doesn't matter what your struggle is. If God sees an action of faith from your life, he immediately responds to it. Because, listen to this, write this down. Faith attracts God. Come on, say that with me. Say, faith attracts God. Now, if faith attracts God, fear attracts your enemy. So whatever condition you are in will determine what you are attracting. If you're attracting your enemy, then you're in fear. Because he feeds off your fear and God feeds off your faith. Jesse Duplantis says, starve your doubts and feed your faith. You do one or the other. You either feed your faith, starve your doubts, or you feed your doubts and starve your faith. Okay? So we have to understand, when we take actions of faith, we invoke the response of God. He has to respond to you when you take actions of faith. And giving is an action of faith. It is a faith action. All right, giving is a faith action, okay, because it requires your obedience. And not just your obedience, but it also requires your convictions, okay? It requires your obedience and your convictions. You need to write that down. It requires your obedience and convictions. When you're giving, it's an action of faith, so it requires your obedience and your convictions. See, Because your convictions as a child of God determine how you see things. What persuades you mentally determines how you see things. What persuades you, because a part of conviction is being persuaded or convinced. Okay? Or convinced. See, a lot of times we used to, you know, people used to hear people talking about, you know, if something condemn you. You know. But God doesn't condemn us. He convicts the child of God. The Bible said there's now no more condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So there's no longer condemning. If you're condemned, that's not from God. Because God don't condemn anymore. God don't hold you guilty anymore of any sin crime. You are guiltless. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You look at somebody and say, I'm guiltless.
I'm guiltless.
Yeah. God is not holding anything. It doesn't matter what you did even today before you got in church. God is not holding that over your head. You are. You're bringing that condemnation over you. You're bringing that guilt feeling over you. You're bringing that guilt consciousness over you. Yeah. Yeah. And you notice, guilt will feed fear. I'm giving you something that's good now. Guilt will feed fear. Because when people are guilty conscious, they're afraid to do anything. Don't know what to do. Don't know where to go. Don't know whether to obey God or don't obey God. Because you feel so bad about what you did yesterday. Yeah, and it stops the flow of faith flowing in your life. Now look what he says here. He says, give, and then it said, and it will be given to you. Now look, he said, you do the one thing, and then after you do the one thing, then God said, I'll do the rest. All right? He said, he'll do the rest. Somebody say, all we need to do is do the one thing, and God will do the rest. He said, give, and it shall be given what? Back to you. Okay. Notice what God said, give, and it shall be given back to you. In other words, you take an action of faith and it will invoke God to respond to you financially. Because that's what we're talking about, giving. It will invoke him to respond to you financially. God cannot sit on the throne and don't respond to you financially when you have taken actions of faith. God has to move. Look at somebody and say, I got God in a corner right now. Got him in a corner. Got him in a corner, man. Got him in a corner. He has to do something. See, you know, sometimes, you know, we should say this, don't push me in a corner now because I got to come out fighting. You see what I'm saying? When you push God in a corner by your faith, God has to come out doing something. See, he has to come out doing something. Go to Mark chapter number 5. Go to Mark chapter number 5. You have to come out doing something. Has to come out doing something. He said, you push him in a corner, now he's going to do something. Yeah. And when you push him in a corner with your faith, he's going to do something in your life with his word. If you push God in a corner with your faith, he's going to do something in your life with his word. Okay? All right? Mark chapter number 5. We know the story. Verse number 34. Okay, this is the story about the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made what? Whole. Okay. She pushed Jesus in a corner with her faith. Because she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And I just personally believe before she touched him, she was whole. Because she was whole mentally. She was whole emotionally. Because the things that she had went through had drained her mentally and emotionally as well as physically. So she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now look what Jesus, how he responded to this woman and her action of faith. Look what happened. Verse number 34. And he said to her, now this Jesus responding to her action of faith. Look at somebody and say, God will respond, to your action of faith. He'll respond to your action of faith. All right? Because remember, your faith requires your obedience and your convictions. Your faith requires your obedience and your conviction. If you're not fully persuaded that the word of God is going to work in a certain area in your life, it's not going to work. Look at somebody and say, you have to be fully persuaded. Yeah. Cannot be any ounces of doubt. Now look what he says here. He said, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now look what Jesus said now. He said, not your hairstyle, not your shout, not your prestige. Listen, not your condition. Not your tears. Not your emotions. But look what he said. Your faith have made you whole. Your faith pushed me in a corner that I had to come out with the word. And when I came out with the word began to perform on your life. I come to announce to you today that your faith is going to make your finances whole. Shabbat. Because you have to understand now, this woman's condition drained her financially. There are some conditions in your life that will drain you financially. Come on, have you ever had any? Have you ever had any? Have you ever had something suddenly to happen to you for it's in your health and all of your money start going toward that? God is, look at somebody and say, God is about to heal my money. Oh, man, come on, man. Come on, look at somebody and say, God is about to heal my money. Oh, God, I feel the anointing in here. He's about to heal your money. God is about to make you whole. And if you're whole, you ain't broke. Now, I said this Sunday, look at the man, I said, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Tell him, say, I shall be whole all the days of my life. And tell him, say, and in my money, I'm going to be whole. I'm not going to be torn apart financially anymore. Torn apart financially. Don't know what I'm going to do every month because I'm so torn apart. Look at somebody and say, I'm about to be whole in my money. Why? Because God is responding to my action of faith. It don't look like I'm doing much when I'm sowing my seed. Don't look like I'm doing much when I'm giving my tithe, but I'm changing the course of my life financially. Don't look like, it didn't look like much when that woman was going on her knee to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She looked it real foolish. Didn't look like much. But the results, look at somebody say, that's what we're after this year. The results. Yeah, we're not going into another year talking about he coming. We're not going into another year talking about he fixing to. We're not going into another year talking about he's going to do it. The time when we go into the next year, we're going to be celebrating what God did this year and ready for him to do the rest the next year. Look at somebody say, my money getting healed. My money getting healed. Come on, tell somebody, say, my money getting healed tonight, right now. Come on, tell somebody, say, my money, right now, my money is getting healed right now. Bank account getting healed. Investments getting healed. 401k's getting healed. That's right, Sister Man, your pocketbook's getting healed. My checkbook getting healed. My debit card getting healed. Getting healed. It's been broken long enough. Look at somebody, say, it's time for some wholeness. Not going to be torn apart financially anymore. Stressed out financially anymore. Why? Because I'm taking actions of faith. And when I take actions of faith, God has to respond to me. He has to respond to me. He has to respond to me. Look at somebody and say, he has to respond to me. Yeah, he got to now. He don't have a choice. Okay? Look what happened. He said, your faith has made you whole. Now then look what he says, because this is key. We'll say, because this is key here now. He say, go in peace. Now he say, go in shalom. Go in the peace of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in the prosperity of God. Go in the health of God. Go in the restoration of God. Ooh. Go to Ushababa. Go to Joel chapter number 2. Y'all know I go to flowing. Yeah, I go to flowing. Joel chapter number 2. Yeah, I go to flowing. Because see, he mentioned that word peace because he wants us to know something is taking place. That word peace now in the Hebrew is the word shalom. It's the peace of God. It's the wholeness of God. It's the restoration of God. That's why the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yeah. Pray that Jerusalem will be restored. See, let me give you a secret here. If you pray for Jerusalem, God will bless your house. You pray for Jerusalem now. If you mention Jerusalem in your prayers, my wife do it all the time. My wife do some stuff now, man. She opened the door. She call in, prosperity call in here. One day I asked her, she opened the door. I said, what you opening the door for? She said, I'm calling in the blessing. Lord have mercy. Call in the blessing. Every time she pray, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. She be calling out Jerusalem from Jessup. Joel chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, God is good, isn't he?
Yes,
he is. Hallelujah. An awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Preacher, find Joel. I have to go to the table of contents, I reckon. Joel is one of those little small books. It's right there before Amos. And it's a small book. Yeah, it's a small book. Joel chapter number 2, verse number, let's see, right here. Hallelujah. Restore the years that the cankerworm and all. There it is, verse number 25. Verse number 25. He said, go in peace. Go in restoration. Live in it. Be restored. See, because this woman had lost a lot. I'm telling you, I'm about to announce to you what you have lost in the past. God is about to restore it to you in your present.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Take this prophetic word for you personally. All that the devil has taken from you financially this year, it will be restored. Come on, receive that now. Receive that, because the Bible said the thief cometh but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He has stolen some money from you. He has stolen some money from you. He has stolen some money from you. And God is going to give you his shalom, and that money is going to be restored. Look at somebody say, I'm getting some restored blessings in this triple favor. Yeah. Getting me some restored blessings. Yeah, and that devil ain't kept. I'd mess around and get the money stole from my grandmama. Because she don't need it in heaven. The money stole from my granddaddy. He don't need it in heaven. The money stole from my mama. She don't need it. I'd mess around and get every dime he stole from my family.
Absolutely.
Because I'm getting restored. Look at somebody say, I'm getting restored. I'm getting restored. Yeah, I'm getting restored now. Yeah. I'm going in the peace of God. One of the parts of the peace of God is restoration. So I'm going to be restored. I'm getting restored. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, I'm getting my stuff back. Yeah. Look what he says here. He says, so I will restore to you the years. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, y'all. Come on. Listen in the spirit. He said, I will restore unto you the years. How many have had some years where the enemy stole from you? I'm talking about when you wasn't even saved, the devil was stealing from you. Somebody say years.
Years.
Yeah, years. That devil owe you money with interest. He owed you money with interest. You remember the children of Israel, don't you? They was in slavery for over 400 years. And when God got ready to bring them out of bondage, what God done? God told them, go to your neighboring Egyptians. God, help me in here. And begin to ask them for articles of gold, articles of silver. And he said, I'm going to give you favor in their eyes. What God was saying to the devil, you got to cough up what you stole over 400 years. You got to, look at somebody and say, the devil got to cough it up. Tell him, say, I done got me a revelation. Have to cough it up when you get a revelation. Now, that devil have to cough up anything he's stolen from you. Now, look what he says here. You got to catch this in the spirit now. Look what he says here. Woo, God, I feel the anointing. Man, that anointing been resting on me real heavy here lately now. I'm telling you now. I'm attracted to money. I ain't kidding you. I'm sowing it too. I'm giving it away fast as I get it. My wife said, you got some money? I said, no, I gave it all away. Because I'm giving it away. I'm going to show y'all why I'm giving it away too. Now look. Woo. He says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. I don't know if you know anything about them locusts, man. Them locusts, they come to town, they eating up everything. Nothing is left after they go. They strip all the crops. Have you had a locust, a demonic stronghold, come and strip anything from you financially? The money you did have, all of a sudden, it's just gone. And you're trying to figure out what happened. That was a devil. That was not God. But God say you're going to be restored. The years that the devil ripped you off, God said, I'm going to restore. Look what he says here. He says, the swarming locust has eaten. The crawling locust. Them devils come in all shapes, forms, and fashions. Yeah, they'll come in all kind of ways. Come in circumstances. Come in problems. Come in situations. How many have some circumstances to rip you off? Situations to rip you off. Problems to hit your house. Come on, you ain't going to talk to me now. Problem to hit your house. And the money you saved up, you had to spend it all toward that problem. God said, I'm restoring it all back. Come on. Hear me, people of God. In the spirit, all that the devil have ripped you off of, God is saying tonight, your actions of faith is putting you in a position to be restored. See, when God starts restoring you, he don't ask you how he got to do it. Woo! When God starts restoring you, God can use any avenue to do it. So don't you think it's strange when strange ways of financial flow start coming in your life. Woo! Don't you try to figure out why they're doing it. Don't you try to figure out how it came. Don't you try to figure out where the check comes from. Just make sure it's good and carry it to the bank. Don't be trying to figure out how God is doing it. Don't be trying to figure out why he's using that person to do it. I don't care who are you. He can use a boy with a little bag or, you know, or two fishes and five loaves of bread if he wants to. If it's for me, I'm saying thank you. Why? Because I know when I give, God will respond to me. But he's not going to tell me how he's going to respond. Sometimes God will respond to you in a way you got to get in the spirit to know that it's God, because if not, you'll get in your emotions and turn it down. Oh, man, I'm talking to somebody. Because you have folk calling you saying, what can I do for you? You say, oh, nothing. That's pride talking. Oh, nothing. We okay. No, you ain't okay. You need a bill paid right now. And you telling them nothing. Open your mouth and say, whatever the Lord tell you to do, do it. Don't restrict it either. Don't say 1,000. Say, whatever the Lord tell you to do, do it. Because the Lord probably done told them 10,000. and you ask only for 1,000. So you cut your own self short. Okay. Man, y'all better catch this stuff now. Man, I feel the anointing on this here. Look what he says here now. Hallelujah. Woo. Those crawling locusts. Then he say that consuming locusts. How many have had some stuff to be consumed? Yeah, consuming locusts. Yeah, consuming locusts. Sometimes that can be the stores. Okay, y'all ain't gonna talk to me here. Sometimes that can be spinning above your means. Somebody say consuming locusts. See, because what you do in ignorance, God don't hold you accountable to that.
Wow.
The Bible said God wink at their ignorance. He don't hold you accountable for ignorance. He only holds you accountable for what you know. If you know to do good and do it not, the Bible say it is a sin. And you'll only be whipped with if you know to do good and do it not, you'll be whipped with many stripes. But if you don't know to do good and you don't do it, you'll be whipped with a few of them. So in ignorance, God don't hold you accountable for ignorance. How many have consumed some stuff in ignorance? Just didn't know no better. Just didn't have no management skills. That's all. No management skills. Nobody taught you how to spend your money. That's a consuming locus. Somebody say that's a consuming locus. Tell them, say, but I'm gonna be restored from that too. God don't leave none of them out. Every way the devil come, God is gonna look. And look what else he say, the last part. He says, and the chewing locusts. Chewing, just chew up your stuff. That's gradual taken from you. Wow. Over time. That's a problem in your life that over time it rips you off. God said, I'm going to restore it though. Look at somebody and say, and it's years that God are going to be restored. Yeah, he's going to restore the years that those things. And then he say, my great army which I sent among you. God said, I'm going to restore the years of every single thing the devil has done in your life. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Go back over to, whoo, there's some good stuff, ain't it? Go back to Luke 6:38. But what I want to do, I want to read it in the Message Bible, okay? Is that all right?
Yes,
sir. All right. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we should have turned on the air. We done went from heat to air. Oh, so the male agree with me. I don't know if it's 50. I don't know what men do when we get in our 50s and all. I don't know what we do. But I'm hot right now. Yeah. I'm gonna have to ask an older man what happened in your 50s. Look what it says here in the Message Bible. Okay, I'm going to read verse 37 and 38 because it has it combined in the Message. If you have your pad up, or if you have a Message Bible or you have your phone or whatever, just follow along. It said, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Let me read that again. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. It can come back to haunt you. Now look what he says right here. Now look what he says here, because I want to get to the meat of what I want to say in this. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Now, here's the scripture right here. Give away your life. You'll find life giving back, but not merely giving back with bonus and blessings. Now, look what he says. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity.
Wow.
So as you give, God keep giving back to you. All right? Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse number 14. 1 Chronicles 29 and 14. Okay. You got to go back a little bit for 1 Chronicles now. 1 Chronicles right before 2 Chronicles. Right after 2 Kings. It's the Chronicles of the stories of the kings. It's the recording of the stories of the kings in an orderly way somewhat. Right? 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 14. Okay? And this here is David right before his passing, right before his offerings unto God. You can read it when you get home, read the other verses, and you'll see what David offered to God, you know, a certain amount of things. Matter of fact, a lot of stuff. When you read it, it's going to blow your mind how much King David gave. And we wonder why he was so blessed. Because he was generous. Okay? Verse number 14, I'm going to read it first. I'm going to read it in the King James, the New King James, and I'll read it in the Message Bible. It says, "But who am I and who are my people?" This is David talking. "That we should be able to offer such willing as this. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Look what he says now. He say, all things come from you, and from your own we have given you. What David is saying, everything that we give to you, God, came from you. So we're actually giving back to you what you gave to us. Wow. Somebody say, wow. See, that's a revelation right there. See, sometimes it's hard for us to release it because we think it's ours. That's where the stewardship come in at. See, a steward is somebody who manages somebody else's resources. See, and here David is admitting, he say, everything that I've given to you, Lord, it belonged to you in the first place. Look at somebody and say, everything I give to God, it belonged to him in the first place. Yeah. Verse 15, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Verse number 16. He says, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand." He say, all of these abundance, all of these gifts that we have prepared to build your house, that your name will have a place to be represented, he said, all came from your hand. So he's saying to us, everything we give to God came from God in the beginning. And when you got that attitude, you don't have a problem being generous. Because you know it didn't belong to you in the first place. It's like you do your children. You give your children an allowance, and your birthday come up, and they buy you a present with the money you gave them. And they come and say, here you go, mama. Here you go, daddy. And you be like, thank you so much. But what they don't realize, they only giving to you what you gave to them. And if they smart, they'll keep doing it, so you'll keep giving them more. See, when you find one of your children generous, you don't mind giving to them. Because you know it's going to end up right back in your hand. Okay, look what he says here. Now, look what he says here. Look what he says. He says, "I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in this uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you too." Now David said, God, you want my heart to be right when I do it. He said, and I have offered everything I've given you with a pure heart. He said, my heart have been sincere. I did it willingly. You didn't have to force me. Look at somebody and say, God don't have to force us to give to him what belonged to him. It's nothing he has to force us to do. And he said, not only have I done it as a leader, he said, but the people have followed my example. Hallelujah. All right, let me read it in the message. You ready for it in the message? Hallelujah. Let me read it in the message. This is good now. Somebody say, this is good right here. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good, 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 good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. I've been meditating on it all day long. Yeah, it's good stuff, okay? Let me read it in the message. The message clarifies it a little bit more, okay? Clarifies it just a little bit more for us. Look what it said in the message. He said, but me, who am I, and who are these people that we should presume to be giving something to you? Everything comes from you. All we're doing is giving back what we've been given from your generous hands. As far as you're concerned, we're homeless, shipless wanderers like our fathers. Our lives mere shadows, hardly anything to us. God, our God, all these materials, these piles of stuff for building a house of worship for you, honoring your holy name, it all came from you. It was all yours in the first place. I know, dear God, that you care nothing for the surface. You want us, our true self. And so I have given from the heart, listen to this, honestly and happily. Notice what Paul said, God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. See, you can give with that kind of attitude when you know it belonged to God in the first place. See, when you think that it is yours, you have a hard time giving it to God. Come on, come on, talk to me in here. When you think that it is yours, you have a hard time giving it to God because you've taken ownership of it. But when you know it came from him and he asks you for it, you don't have a problem. Why? Because when he asks you for it, he's asking it for it to get more to you. Look at somebody and say, he's going to get more to me than this season. Right, look what he says right here. I'm just about done. He says, it all came from you. It was all yours in the first place. I know, dear God, that you care nothing for the surface. You want us, our true selves, and so I have given from the heart, honestly and happily, and now see all these people doing the same. Look at somebody and say, giving is contagious. That's why in this season don't hang around folk who are stingy.
Come on.
I encourage you tonight, get away from them. Because just like giving is contagious, stinginess is contagious. You hang around a stingy person long enough, you're gonna become stingy. Guess what? They'll start changing your language. You willing to do whatever you need to do to get where you need to go, and all of a sudden they start talking to you and start saying things to you. Before you know, you start repeating what they're saying. Look at somebody and say, stop hanging around stingy folk.
Stop hanging around stingy folk.
Yeah, yeah. Become a contagious giver. Give to the point, to the place where it invokes other people to do the same thing. Because he said, listen, he said, the people are doing the same thing. The people are doing the same exact thing that I have done. Now look what he says right here, and we're just about done. He said, and now see all these people doing the same, giving freely, willingly. What a joy. Oh God, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this generous spirit alive forever in these people always. Now you got to get that. You don't lose your anointing of generosity. Look at somebody and say, do not lose the anointing of generosity. Don't lose it. He said, keep this spirit flowing in these people. Keep them generous. Because an open hand always gets something back in return. But a closed hand won't release what it has, so it'll never get what God have for it. Look at somebody and say, do not be a closed hand.
Do not be a closed hand.
I'm done. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We appreciate you for what you've done today.